at Swami Mahoney this morning. And as promised, on the hotline right now, we have Kathy Kleiner Rubin with us. Hey, Kathy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm reading over this story here, and obviously, before we go any further, you've probably already done it 100 times, but can you kind of let everybody in the audience who's not familiar, let them know your story? Give us the backstory on this. What happened exactly?
I was in Chi Omega Sorority House on January 15th, 1978. I was a sister, initiated newly as a sister. And I lived in the sorority house, but being a freshman and a sophomore in school, I was having fun. I was doing all the things that you do at that age. And on January 15th, everything changed for me. I was in the room, and Ted Bundy came into the sorority house. He attacked two of my sorority sisters, Margaret and Lisa. He killed them both. He then walked into my sorority room, which was a small room. We had two twin beds in the room and a trunk between the beds. There was about 3 feet on each side of the trunk. So at that point, we were both sleeping. It's early in the morning. I remember I heard someone open our bedroom door and then trip over the trunk. I heard a lot of noise, which woke me up to a point where I knew what was going on. I then saw a black figure standing at the side of my bed. It was dark, and it was the silhouette of a person. I remember him lifting his arm over his head. He had a log in his hand,
right,
and he slapped it down on my face with such force that he broke my jaw in 3 places and cut my cheek open. I then felt a thud. It wasn't a sharp pain. It was more like a thud and just weird. It was weird. So once he attacked me, I started moaning, and which woke up my roommate, Karen. And this figure went over, attacked Karen, and came back. Ted Bundy did not leave victims alive. So he was coming over to finish attacking me and kill me. Right then, a car was being... in the back, was coming home from the back of the parking lot. Our room shown up was in the back also. Our curtains were open. When the car pulled up, the headlights really shone up into our room, and it was pretty bright in there. It was, I remember being on my bed and moaning and groaning and yelling in my head, why isn't anyone helping me? And all I was doing was making a little sound. But when the light shone up into our room, I think he knew he was seen, because it was very obviously he was in there. But at that point, he left the room, left us, ran down the stairs, and left the sorority house.
Wow. That is an unbelievable story. I'm amazed that you don't mind talking about it, and you actually kind of want to get inside this dude's head. I'm watching the Ted Bundy tapes myself, and I got to tell you, I have a weird fascination with stuff like this. I'm not sure why. It's interests me why somebody would do this. Maybe you're hoping you can get inside somebody's head and figure out a motive. But sometimes I feel guilty watching things like this, and I bet you, as a survivor, you can see where I'm coming from with that, right?
I can. I remember right after the incident, and I went home to recuperate in Miami, where my parents lived. I started watching and listening to news, and once they knew it was Bundy, that they put it together, that they knew that was him when they arrested him in Pensacola. I felt like, okay, we're not in a dark place anymore. We have a name and a person that did this. However, when I was in school, being a freshman and a sophomore, I didn't know Ted Bundy. I was having fun and living my life. And then that night, he took me on I got a different education, I guess. And I understood then there was evil. But I also understood that I was going to get through this. I had no doubt in my mind. And I read everything I could about him. And I actually made him a person. I put a face on this person and saw what he wanted us to see. But then I also, by reading, understood that he was sick. He had mental disorder. He was sexually sadistic, and he was evil. Yeah. And the night he attacked us, he was such a frenzy. I think that he didn't even know what he was doing, but he was doing it. He was just attacking as he always did.
That's wow. Crazy. Did it cross your mind after the time of the attack that, from what I'm getting from the show I've watched, it looks like the Aspen Police Department was kind of bumbling and maybe even a little bit inept to let this guy get out in the first place. Did you in any way in your head maybe hold them responsible for him getting out and perpetrating the attack on you because of that?
I think they did the best they thought they could at that time. I know I feel that Bundy was very cunning and took every opportunity he could when possibly they were a little lax on him, but I can't blame them because they were doing the best they could at the time, and they thought that as a prisoner, he also showed more feeling and wanted to learn more of the law and train himself. So he wasn't like the criminal they catch and put in jail right away because they can't be trusted.
Right.
Bundy made it seem like he could be trusted. So I'm not angry with them. I think they did not hold him as well as they should have. But I think Bundy wanted them to think that he was not going to run, that he was truly someone else.
Yeah, right.
They were a very understanding person.
Could say. Do you feel like in the time after the attack, when you survived and you got over your injuries, you're kind of assessing the whole situation, yet you had friends there in the sorority house who were killed as a result of this guy. What were your feelings at that point? Obviously, you're feeling you're lucky to survive, but did you have any kind of survivor's guilt because you lived in some den? Was there any of that going on?
I did not have survivor's guilt. I didn't do anything wrong. I was asleep in my room as Margaret and Lisa were, and my heart goes out to them. If anything, over the years, I thought of them. I didn't think of me being attacked and my injuries. It was thinking of them and how they were taken away from us so young, and they had a life to live, and I was going to live my life. I had my dreams, and I was going to fulfill them, but they didn't. They couldn't keep going, and I could.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we know Ted Bundy was executed in 1990. Did you go to the execution?
No, I did not. They offered a pass for us to go. My parents and I did not want to go. So he was given several stays over the years. Mm-hmm. Different judges would allow him to get a stay and possibly another appeal. And in my heart, it was like, that's just not right because, you know, he doesn't deserve any other time when he didn't give his victims more time. They didn't say, please give me time, and he did. But that he was just evil and that he was given stays. And I feel that the judges that decided that he could live a little longer, if they had daughters, I wish the judges would have said, oh, you can take my daughter out on a date, Ted, because I'm letting you live longer.
Yeah.
And that always upset me.
Did you have any interest?
That always upset me.
Any interest in ever communicating with them or trying to reach out through letters or an interview of any kind?
The sorority sisters, over the time of my recuperation in Miami, they did not ever contact me. No one did. None of the sorority sisters. My mouth was wired shut. It was broken in three places, so I couldn't communicate very well, but I could get some noise out. And I would call the sorority sisters like once a week or once every 3 days and ask them to leave messages and call me, and no one ever called me. And my mom said, finally, you know, don't do this anymore because they've gotten the messages. If they want to, they will call you. And no one ever did. No one ever contacted me. And I do understand that some of them had survivor's guilt, which I can't understand in my heart. I mean, my personality, I just don't understand that. But they did have that. And a couple years later, I was told by one of the sisters that they were told not to keep in contact with me. The Chi Omega sorority said, as long as Kathy's part of the story of Chi O, then people won't get new pledges. No one will want to join Chi O.
That's terrible.
So there was no money coming in. So so that's why they wanted me to be, they wanted to stay me a distant place. They wanted me to be away and kind of put away and forgotten.
That's filthy.
Yeah.
I hate hearing that. Let me ask you this real quick. Now, you know that there seems to be some sort of, for lack of a better term, Ted Bundy revival going on right now. There's an anniversary. There's a show on Netflix. There's a movie coming out. Do you in any way have any contempt for the people that are flocking to watch this stuff?
I don't. I watch 4 hours at one time on the Netflix.
Yeah.
Tapes. It was the Bundy tapes.
Yes.
There wasn't time for the victims. It was his tapes. And I think it showed in the beginning how he had control and he wanted people to see things. And then as the tapes went, it showed him deteriorating and not in control and kind of being a victim himself. And at the end, he was very anxious to live and, you know, tried to live and ask. And it seemed right that he was doing that because his victims didn't have a chance to live. And as they pleaded, I'm sure, for their lives, he didn't have any mercy on them. So yeah, I'm glad he had no control of how and when he was going to die because he took the control out of a lot of women.
That's for sure.
And part of the healing is there ultimate forgiveness that you have to have for him, or you can't let it go? Or do you still just think he was evil and he got what he deserved in the end?
I think he was evil. I don't think I can or will forgive him. I know he was sick. I know he wasn't sick. He had the two sides. I feel he should have gotten help, and he didn't. So there are many things that happened along the way. I can't forgive him because he knew what he was doing. And has he attacked the women earlier, and then when he came to Florida and attacked us, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
in control. So I can't forgive that. I can't forgive that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, hey, Kathy, I'm so happy that ultimately it turned out you're okay. You're willing to talk about it. And that's an amazing story you've got. Thanks so much for sharing it with us today.
Thank you for asking me, and thank you for inviting me on.